It worked fairly well last time.
Yeah, it's better the other way. It's better the other way, it's fine.
Yeah, we'll try it one more time over here, and then we'll...
Maybe I was moving around too much. Okay, just for a few words, for, you know, inspired by Elichai, you know, we can't ignore the...
These parshiyos are so...
Yeah. They are. All parshiyos. Okay, so just very quickly... in Parshas Shlach, I think we learned Parshas Shlach last week also, but I guess I didn't finish with it. So last week we spoke a little bit about the Meraglim and what went wrong. So let me just speak for a minute about the aftermath of the Meraglim. So in the aftermath of the Meraglim and the Mapilim, so then the Torah has several Parshios. And by Dabar Hashem Moshe Leimor, Dabar El Bnei Yisrael Mar Talehem, Kisavo El Aretz Moshe Voseichem, Asher Nino Sein Lachem Vasisam Isha Lashem Olo Zevach Fale Nedar Benudava. The first parsha that we immediately encounter is the parsha of Nesachim, that karbonos require Nesachim. If you're makar of a karbon, there's machlokes in the Medrash Halacha whether or not this is a chiddush that applies only in Eretz Yisrael, even regarding karbonos tzibur or only karbonos yachid. But either way, the parsha is meant to indicate that upon Knesset l'Eretz Yisrael, there will be a change in the way in which karbanos will be brought. Nesachim will be added to the karban. That's the first of the parshios, and right after the story of the Meraglim and the Mapilim. After that, the Torah turns its attention by Dabar Hashem Moshe Leimar, Dabar El Bnei Yisrael V'mar Talehem again. The parsha of Chala. And after that, the third parsha, which is not introduced by Kisavo or Bivoachem as the other two were, but it's also an interesting halacha, and that's V'chisishku V'losasu Eis Komitzaela Asher Dibra Hashem Moshe Eis Kol Asher Tziva Hashem Aleichem Biad Moshe, etc., the parsha which Chazal identify as the din of Avodah Zarah, which is occasioned by an improper psak of Bezen HaGadol, the idea of Parlam Dovashel Tzibor, but in this case specifically for the chet of Avodah Zarah. So what are these three parshios? And after that, the Gemara speaks about individual Avodah Zarah, and then you have the story of the Mekoshesh, and then you have Tzitzes. Fine. Let's assume at least until we get to the individual of Avodah Zarah. Maybe the individual of Avodah Zarah is there because of the collective of Avodah Zarah, I'm assuming. So what do these three parshios have to do with the Meraglim and the Mapilim? So some of the Mefarshim try to explain that. Ibn Ezra and the Sfarnu, Chizkuni, they suggest various things, but I'd like to suggest something a little bit different. I think the first part, of course, is what's already suggested by Rashi and elaborated by the Ramban. And that is that there's an element of nechama in these parshiyos. The nechama is Klal Yisrael had just lost this golden opportunity. Instead, they are devastated by the new timetable, 40-year delay to what otherwise would have been a few days of entry into Eretz Yisrael, with everything that goes with that. So the way in which to emphasize that all is not lost, that there shouldn't be a yeyush, is to start giving them practical instruction about what life will demand of them and will be like in Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, if there's no intention to follow through, if the Rabbanu Shalom didn't believe, didn't have confidence that they could overcome and ultimately enter Eretz Yisrael, he wouldn't start at this point in time, certainly, giving them specifically instructions about Eretz Yisrael. So that's why it's Dabra B'nei Yisrael Matalim, Kisav O'Elar, Elaretz Mashal Seichem. And the same thing with Chala. These are dinim that have to do with Eretz Yisrael to show you that this is going to happen. It'll be delayed, but it'll happen. That's what Rashi and the Ramban both emphasize. But what I'd like to suggest is that it also, there's the other side of the same coin. Even as there was an effort to underscore that there shouldn't be any Yeush and that ultimately the Havtacha will take place, even if that is true, the Rabbanu Shalom also wanted to emphasize to them exactly what loss they had suffered. He wanted to accentuate, you know, the lost opportunity, not just the ultimate reversal of the of what will be their reversal of fortune. And therefore he picked Parshios which particularly underscore the broader theme of Eretz Yisrael. In other words, these three Parshios on the surface have nothing to do with Kedushas Karka. Even Chalo, which we'll get to in a second, Alan's here, so I don't have to say anything. Even Chala, perhaps one could have thought, would have been brought in Chutz Laaretz as well as in Eretz Yisrael. Certainly this is true for Korban Nesachim. What does it have to do with the soil of Eretz Yisrael? But I say even Chala. And indeed, we find that Chala really is different than the other mitzvot, Satluyos Baaretz. Again, we won't elaborate, but it begins earlier, even before the years of Kivush V'Chiluk. It requires a Bias Kolchem, which, again, the Rambam extended to Trumos and then later to Maestros and then maybe even to other things, depending on which Mefarshim. But Rambam aside, as the Ravid points out, the Gemara and the Medrash Halacha only apply this idea to Chala. So Chala, the timing and certain the requirements are different than other mitzvahs bar. It's a lot of evidence that Chala applies to Chutz Laaretz in a much stronger way than, let's say, Trumas Chutz Laaretz. It's not just a Gzeira Atu Eretz Yisrael, but on the contrary, in a way, Chala should have applied everywhere. And again, there are strong indications that Tosas in Kedushin Daf Lamed Zayin says this, as do some of the other Rishonim. There's a lot of evidence that Chala really has nothing to do with Mitzvah Satliyos Baaretz. I mean, we paskin that it does, but even the boundaries, the questions of Ole Mitzrayim, Ole Babel, there might be differences in addition to the timing. Chala is about V'hayaba Cholchem Milachem Aretz. Again, when we studied Chala last summer, tried to emphasize many aspects of this theme. Trumas and Maestros all have to do with the Kedushas Karka, and you know the Tevel is a function of that Kedusha, and that's why you have to be Mafrish and so on. But Chala, there's a lot of evidence that the Tevel of Chala is a result of the Chiyuv Afrasha. It's the other way. And the Chiyuv Afrasha has to do with V'hoyu B'cholchem Aleichem Aretz, a certain appreciation. It's the replacement of the Mun. In a way, the Mun, it has the same shear as the Mun. The Mun was a food in the Midbar. The Mun, it's about Parnasa. Not specifically limited to Eretz Yisrael. The third of the Parshios, the Chisishgu, the Parsha of an improper psaka bezna gadol is again something which affects all members of as parah halim davar shel tzibur, and by yikra is it affects all members of Klal Yisrael. So on the surface, all three of these parshios, Nesachim, Chala, and the parah halim davar and the seir of avodah zarah, should have had nothing to do with kedushas eretz Yisrael. Ribbono Shalom is trying to tell Klal Yisrael, you miscalculated seriously, because maybe you thought that the benefit of living in Eretz Yisrael was only limited to Kedushas Karka, to Trumos and to Maestros and to Shemitah, and that would be enough. But the point is that living in Eretz Yisrael is something that affects the totality of Jewish life. When you bring a Karban, so when you bring that Karban in Eretz Yisrael, it's not enough, even though you're trying to bring a Behema, you also bring Nesachim. And the Nesachim, generally speaking, are an added dimension of Kulal Hashem as well, even if you're not bringing an Ola. That's the Kulal Hashem of that Korban Nesachim. And on the contrary, the Nesachim are, according to many understandings at least, generated by the Korban itself. It's not like it's an implicit part of the Neder, but you bring the Korban, and the Korban triggers the Nesachim, but only in Eretz Yisrael, namely the dynamic of you can bring a carbon in the Midbar, you can bring a carbon in Eretz Yisrael. The point is that it's two different experiences. The Cheftesh al Korban is Mechayiv its own Nesachim, but only in Eretz Yisrael. Chala, as we just explained, very much focuses on Eretz Yisrael as an ideal place to live. The idea of Parnasa in Eretz Yisrael, the idea of anything that you eat being an opportunity for Hafrasha, La Hashem, it's not even La Kohen, a lot of evidence to suggest that it's matnas kahuna as opposed to tikkun tevel, but even the matnas kahuna is kind of like a mishulchan gavoa kazachu. Both the psukim and certain dinim imply that. But basically, it's a matana l'Hashem. It's diverted to the Kohen. Very different than classical Kedushas Haaretz issues. Again, emphasizing that life in Eretz Yisrael isn't just about the technical opportunities of Kedushas Karka and Kedushas Haaretz, but it affects that to the totality of that experience. And then finally, the third of the parashios, the Parhalim Davar Shel Tzibur, of course, as well known, number one, it depends on Klal Yisrael Shebe Eretz Yisrael, as the Gemara says in Horios. They're the ones who are Karui Kahal. But I think that there's an added dimension here as well. These psukim are particularly challenging, as the Mefarshim note. V'chisishgu v'lo sasu es kol mitzvos ha'ela asher divar Hashem el Moshe. So the Ibn Ezra says, it means if you violate mitzvos haseh. And the Ramban says, it can't mean that. You don't bring a korban for not doing mitzvos haseh. The only time you get kares even for mitzvos haseh are mila and korban pesach. And nothing else. And what are we speaking about if we're speaking about mitzvos haseh? All mitzvos haseh? Any mitzvos haseh? You don't bring a korban for that. What's the Ibn Ezra talking about? But the Ibn Ezra is really just reflecting the pshat and the psukim. It sounds like, v'chisishgu v'lo sasu es kol mitzvos haela. Really refers to ignoring a life of mitzvot. So halachically it's not correct, but the psukim really do seem to be pointing in that direction. Then the psukim continue, Eis kol asher tziva Hashem aleichem biyad Moshe, min hayom asher tziva v'hal ador seichem, v'hayayim me'enei ha'eda nesa l'shkaga, v'osu kol ha'eda, par ben bakar echad la'ola, l'reach l'chokha Hashem, v'chasov v'nizko k'mishpat, siri zim echad l'chatas, which is written without an aleph. As the Medrash Halacha points out, here the Ola is mentioned before the Chatas, and the Chatas is mentioned without an Aleph, and the Par is the Par of the Ola, the Chatas is a Seir, even though the regular din of Par Helam Davar in other Chataim is always the Par, not the Seir. But again, it's just a very strange dinim, and then we're told, V'chibra HaKoyin al kol hadas b'nei Yisrael, v'nisach Lahem, Kishgoga he, the Hey Meviu is Karbanam, Ishal Hashem, Bechatasam, Bephne Hashem, Al Shigasam, Benisach, Koladas Bene Israel, La Gera Garbisacham, Kilakolha Ambishgoga. It sounds like there's something very profound and of great and wide scope going on. The word of Avodah Zarah never appears in the Parsha. Right? Medrash Halacha understands that we're talking about Avodah Zarah because, you know, what other chait can there be, right, which is Kolel. An avera of kol haTorah kula, right? Kalamoda b'avodah zarah is ki'ilu avar al kol haMitzvos. So the Masori is that we're talking about the avera of avodah zarah, which of course is a iser, it's a lav, it's a kumbaseh. But the psukim sound like they're talking about neglecting esin, and avodah zarah itself is never ever spelled out. The Ramban struggles with this after rejecting the Ibn Ezra. And he says, you know, either in a way, he has very interesting things here. Parsha says, "Stuma b'meshna'a, v'yitubo balei apshat, lo marshu karban amishala asa mashatziva lasos v'hu shoke, v'divreim divrei ruach, sh'im kein yechiv karban v'chomet saseh sh'betarek sh'lo kiim es kulam, v'shogak v'achas mehem, v'yechiv kares v'kom yishenu mekayim es kulam," and that's simply not so. So what does it mean? So what's really going on here? The Ramban says either violating a lav is also like not doing the mitzvos, which is an interesting perspective. In general, the relationship between esen and lavin is something that is a little bit complicated. Sometimes we see them correctly as two completely different forms, esen as spiritual opportunities, Lavin is Maisa Averos. Sometimes Maisa Averos, right, also reflect the loss of, like, a dramatic kumbaseh way of asserting your rejection of spiritual opportunities. And sometimes neglecting Essen is tantamount to almost kumvase violating them. So there are these two forms, and it's important to always figure out what the Torah is emphasizing, but there's also overlap between them. Ramban seems to be saying that even though you violate technically this particular Yisr Balav Bekumbase, nonetheless, the Mechayiv, in some respects, is the neglect of opportunity of Kola Mitzvahs. But it sounds like it's Kola Mitzvahs, not just a particular Mitzvah. Either that's what's going on, or you have to reread the Psukim somewhat. But then the Ramban is bothered by the second point, which is how come the Psukim don't actually explicate that we're talking about Avodah Zarah at all? So he says, well, you know, one could say, I'll peep shot, that what we're talking about is other ways of rejecting Kol HaTorah Kula, Bishogeg. A Tinok Shenishba, or Shochach, or things of that sort, or joining, thinking that, being under the incorrect impression that Torah is only limited for a certain period of time, and after that, you know, it's batel, like the Christians say, says like, you know, the Tohen say. To do one of those things, you could also be in the category of the chisishgu velosasu as kol mitzvos ha'ela. But he says, in fact, the Masorah is that it refers to avodah zarah. Okay. So I think what's really going on in this Ramban, I'm not sure if the Ramban means this. Maybe he does. If not, it's just putting together the strands in the Ramban. That one can make the following suggestion. And that is, the Masorah is the Masorah. So of course the Pasuk is talking about Avodah Zarah. And the only time that you bring this particular korban is when you do Avodah Zarah. But I'd like to suggest, again, maybe for the Ramban, or maybe just going one step beyond the Ramban, is that basically, when you are over Avodah Zarah, there are two dimensions to your chet. One is, you have violated one of the Taryag Mitzvos, maybe the most severe, Shabbos Avodah Zarah, like the Rambam says, the end of Chol Shabbos, right? Maybe the most severe. And for that, there are special consequences. Moreover, this parsha is mechadesh that always or sometimes violating Avodah Zarah is also a way of rejecting Kol HaTorah Kula. And basically, it's the equivalent of Bishogeg, Tinok Shenishba, saying that the Torah is only limited in time, forgetting, except that as a Maisa Avera, and technically, the actual Korban is limited to Avodah Zarah. But this Parsha doesn't spell out Avodah Zarah, because it's not Avodah Zarah, it's Avodah Zarah. It's Avodah Zarah as this broader theme of rejecting Kol HaTorah Kula, and I would just add, hence, the emphasis on the Mitzvah Saseh part, namely, it isn't so much the Maisa Avera here. This Maisa Avera is the only way halachically, legally, you can technically violate a bigger theme, a negative motif, namely the rejection of Derech HaTorah, opportunities of Torah, etc. And therefore it's formulated in the positive rather than in the negative. It's not spelled out that this is Avodah Zarah, even though it is, because it would be too narrow. It would imply that it's simply the Maisa Avodah Zarah, and it isn't that. It's what Maisa Avodah Zarah really reflects. And even though you don't bring the Korban, still somebody who does reject Kol HaTorah Kula, or thinks that the Torah is only temporary, or is a Tinok Shenishba Bein HaAkum, etc. The spirit of this Parsha applies to him, even if technically the actual Korban does not. And if that's the case, then I think one can also explain, I'm speculating, why it is that the Ola comes before the Chatos, and the Chatos is missing its Aleph, and why the Ola, rather than the Chatos, is the Par. Namely, because the emphasis here is not so much in terms of the Maisa Avera, which is what Chatos are about. There is a Chatos here, because you did do a Maisa Avera. Only if you do a measured technical Maisa Avera do you violate this Parsha, in terms of the Korban. But the Mechayiv really is the violation of these themes by means of this Maisa. It isn't the Maisa itself. And therefore, even though you bring a Seir Chatos, but you bring a Par La'ola. And the Par La'ola is mentioned first in this Parsha, in this context, because that's really what's most important. After all, it's an Ola that you bring on Mitzvah Saseh. It's the Ola that reflects the total attitude which you know is behind the Korban, etc. And therefore, this Parsha is really telling us about a much broader thing. And Eretz Yisrael is very much interconnected with this whole idea. Life in Eretz Yisrael, which is meant to be a holistic kind of a life, where of course you have the opportunity to implement more mitzvot, more spiritual opportunity, but it isn't just more spiritual opportunity quantitatively. It's again the idea of a holistic and an integrated Jewish life. In a way, this is the polar opposite. The chisish guvel asasu is called mitzvah se'ela. In when Kal Yisrael Shabbat Eretz Yisrael violates because of Bezen Hagadol's mistake, this idea, that's a tremendous slap in the face to this concept of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, when the Meraglim and the Mapilim were being rejected, these three parshios were given, not only to show that, you know, there is a light at the end of the tunnel and there will be a return to Eretz Yisrael, but to show that you know, we should appreciate the opportunities that Eretz Yisrael provide us with. And yeah.
I mean, doesn't it take away some from the Gemara's equation between the Bodhi Zohar and Kol Torah Kulo, you know, the rejection of Kol Torah Kulo, the fact that it doesn't, for other mitzvot where we have to work harder, like Shabbos, we have to work harder to understand what that means. Meaning, with the Bodhi Zohar, you know, it seems more being more direct and more obvious. How we're rejecting Kol Torah Kulo for the Bodhi Zohar.
Right.
Whereas when we do that for, you know, several other
Well, we don't have this halacha of the chisishgu, a special carbon with the tzibur as a total.
Right.
We only have it in Avodah Zarah.
No, absolutely. But I actually, you know, more generally, doesn't that take away some from that equation?
I don't think so. I think because even though Shabbos is hakchashas ma'isa bereishis, but I think this theme of rejecting, you know, the totality of the corpus is a specifically a Avodah Zarah. I don't think you get that in Shabbos. Because in Shabbos, when you violate Shabbos, you violate the specific Shabbos. And there's also implications about being makhish, b'maisa b'reishis, which is like, you know, if that is indeed a major tenet, so it's in that sense, it's like a Avodah Zarah. But it's not like a Avodah Zarah in the same way that this parsha is like a Avodah Zarah. It's not, you know, rejection of Kol HaTorah Kula. It's rejection of the theological, you know, foundation implicitly. But being over to Avodah Zarah is really rejection of the totality of the corpus in addition to everything else. Yeah, that's really kind of what I'm saying. And that's why here, as I say, the emphasis isn't on the Chatos part, it's on the Ola part. Okay, so much for that. Now let's turn our attention to... Oh, yeah.